From out of sin, where he has brought. Certainly good tonight to be in the house of the Lord. Just been blessed all day. Got here this early this morning and just sitting at the piano and just thinking about the Lord.
Amen.
How good He's been to me. And
amen, Brother Nathan.
How
amen.
Unworthy I am of His blessing, Brother. Amen. I tell you what, just unworthy, yet he loves me anyway.
Yeah.
Just so thankful to be able to be here tonight, be able to try to stand for the Lord and bring a message tonight. And I do appreciate the pastor allowing me to preach.
Bless the Lord.
I'm glad that I want to.
Amen.
I'm glad it's not I have to.
Amen.
You know, the closer you get the Lord in something, your have-tos, they'll change to want-tos.
Yeah, that's right.
You get a little bit closer, they'll change to get-tos. I get to preach. And then you get a little bit closer and you can't help to. You just can't help it. You just got to. Because you want to so bad. But I'm just so glad to be here tonight. I'm just thank the Lord for this opportunity tonight. If you would, turn tonight to the book of Mark. Book of Mark in chapter 2. A very familiar section of Scripture here. And I think it'd be good for us to read all 12 verses here. We'll just start reading at verse 1 tonight, and then we get down to verse 12. We'll all read that verse together tonight. The Bible says in the book of Mark, chapter 2, "And again he entered into Capernaum after some days, and it was noised that he was in the house. And straightway many were gathered together, insomuch that there was no room to receive them, no, not so much as about the door. And he preached the word unto them.
Amen.
And they came unto him, bringing one sick of the palsy, which was born of 4. And when they could not come nigh unto him for the press, they uncovered the roof where he was. And when they had broken it up, they let down the bed wherein the sick of the palsy lay. And when Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the sick of palsy, Son, thy sins be forgiven thee. But there were certain of the scribes sitting there and reasoning in their hearts, Why did this man thus speak blasphemies? Who can forgive sin but God only? And immediately, when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they so reasoned within themselves, he said unto them, Why reason ye these things in your hearts? Whether it is easier to say to the sick of the palsy, Thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, Arise and take up thy bed and walk. But that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power upon the earth to forgive sins, he saith to the sick of the palsy, I say unto thee, Arise and take up thy bed and go thy way into thy house. Let's read verse 12 together. And immediately he rose, took up the bed, and went forth before them all, insomuch that they were all amazed and glorified God, saying, we never saw it in this fashion. Father, I just pray tonight for Father, that you would just please bless this people tonight. I pray that you would anoint me, Lord, to be able to preach the message and the words, Father, that you've prayed it, put upon my heart tonight, Lord. I pray, Father, that you just be in the midst tonight, Father. And, Lord, just pray this message would be a help to someone, Lord, whether lost or saved, Father. Yes, Lord. Lord, I don't know the hearts, but you do, Lord. And I'm not able to change lives tonight, but you are. Father, I pray that you just please help us in this service. In Jesus' name I do pray. Amen.
Amen.
You can be seated. We look at the last words here, the last sentence of verse 12. It says, we never saw it on this fashion.
Amen.
You might kind of say here that Jesus made a fashion statement. He started a new fashion, if you will. You could think of that. But another way of saying what they said was, we've never seen anything like this before. In other words, what they saw and what they experienced was unexpected. They did not come there expecting to see what had happened there.
Amen.
Now, there's so many places here in this whole reading that you would probably, that were completely unexpected. But can you imagine being in a church service this evening and the church house would be full in the day and time that we're living in? That would certainly be unexpected tonight. But what if the church was full tonight, which would be unexpected? And then right in the middle of the service, ceiling tiles started disappearing and going away, and someone dropped down that was sick. That would be very unexpected tonight. And then to have someone come down and this man be sick and to say that thy sins be forgiven thee, that'd be unexpected.
Yes,
for someone to say that. And then to say arise and get up and walk, that'd be unexpected for those type of things to happen. Now, the thought behind my message tonight, and I'll get more into really what the title is tonight, but we think about things that are unexpected. Unexpected things. And, you know, when I got to thinking about that in the Bible, whenever I try to preach, I like to give, maybe some differences and different examples and comparisons and stuff. And so we think about something that is unexpected. Then we think about things that are expected. Now, I don't know if anything just directly comes to your mind or not, but as I was thinking through the Bible, and I was trying to come up with examples of things that we expect or expected to happen, I tell you, there are not many in the Bible. There's many events, and all throughout the Bible, there's a lot of unexpected things that happen in the Word of God. I'll tell you, I got to thinking about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego there, and I got to looking at that, and see the King Nebuchadnezzar there. He told them, he said, if you don't bow, then you're going to go into the fiery furnace. You're going to go in there. If you don't bow, that's where you're going. And they guess it. They said, I like when they said, we're not careful to answer thee. We've got a big God, and we're not careful about the words we're telling you, because we know God will take care of us. So he said, now if you bow, you're the expectation, you better get ready, is you're going into that furnace. And that's exactly what happened. But now from that point on, everything that happened after that was unexpected. You agree with that? They're going in there, you know, the expectation was you're going to go into the fire. And they did. But they didn't die. See, that was expected to die, but they didn't. See, that was the expectation. Now, not only did they not die, but the expectation would be, well, surely if you didn't die and you come out, you surely smell like smoke.
Right.
You surely smell like you've been in the fire. But it was unexpected because they didn't. I mean, listen, I left the lunch this afternoon, walked to the car, and there was a lady parked right beside our car with her door open, and she was smoking right inside of her car. I thought I was going to choke and die before I ever got in my car. Got in there, rolled the windows down, drove 5 miles. I felt like I had it all over. For them to walk into a fire and the flames and the smoke and stuff and to come out.
Amen.
To come out, listen, That's unexpected.
That's right, brother.
That's unexpected.
Amen.
Now, when we think about we think about our lives, there's certainly things that happen in our lives every day, really.
Yes.
Amen.
That are unexpected.
Amen, brother Nathan.
One right after another, things that are unexpected. Now, some of these unexpected things are good. They're good. We had the family drop by for Christmas. You know, we didn't expect them to come by, and then we got family, just shows up, and that's a good thing, isn't it? Sister, that's a good thing. He'll show up, and most of the time now that's good. Now, if the house ain't in order, that might not be a good thing. But when people show up, that was a good surprise. We got lots of things that happen in our lives where it brings these unexpected things. They bring us joy.
Amen.
They bring us excitement. It's Christmas time. And a lot of times, we'll get gifts. We'll give gifts. My aunt and uncle, I still remember when I was 12 years old, I believe it was 11, 12 years old and stuff. They bought me a telephone. Now, you young people, it wasn't a cell phone now. All right, this had a cord to it. I don't know if you've heard of these or not. But it actually had a cord to it. It was so unexpected to me that I cried after I realized what it was. Because it was so unexpected. I was expecting to get a phone in my room. I couldn't believe that. And I cried. But now my wife and daughter make fun of me because I cry at commercials. I cry at cartoons.
Yeah,
I mean, yeah. You just open up there. Forget about me watching the Hallmark Channel. You bring me a towel or something because I'm just going to cry.
That's good.
All the way through it.
That's good.
But anyway, it was tears of joy. I was so excited over getting something unexpected.
Amen, brother.
Unexpected. I really enjoyed that. And I like giving gifts that would be unexpected. Giving gifts that people wouldn't expect to get. Now, sometimes that gets you in trouble, men. When you get something, you say, well, she wouldn't be expected to get this. Sometimes whenever she opens it, she lets you know she wasn't expected to get that.
Right?
So sometimes that doesn't go as well. But Christmas, is the point I'm making is that there's expectations.
Oh, yeah.
There's things that we get that's unexpected.
Right.
And then sometimes those things are good things.
Amen.
But sometimes things happen in our life that's unexpected.
That's right, brother.
And they bring us sorrow and pain.
Right.
Amen.
We'll lose loved ones unexpected. A tragedy will happen.
Amen.
Unexpectedly. And it hurts us. And it brings us sorrow and grief and pain. I'm talking about things that are unexpected. Now, when you look through the Bible, I mean, just a quick scan through the Bible. When you think about events that happened in the Bible that were unexpected. I was just kind of randomly thinking through just different things that happened in the Bible. Just these events that happened. And just jotted down a few here, but there was an axe head swimming in the Bible. Now, you can't tell me that seeing an axe head swimming around in the water is something you would expect to see.
Right.
You just wouldn't expect to see that, but it happens.
Right.
It's in the Word of God. Now, I would not expect a fish to come up and spit out a coin, but it did in the Bible. Now, if I thought that still happened today, I'd be a better fisherman. I'd go after them. But I know fish ain't spitting up coins today. Not only did a fish spit up a coin, but a fish spit up a preacher. Wouldn't that be unexpected? Can you imagine being out on the beach, out on the seashore, or whatever? Here comes a great fish up on the beach, and a preacher just falls out of it. And the way I understand it, he come out of running.
Yeah.
I mean, he hit the ground running, but now that would be unexpected, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
You think about all these things unexpected that happened in the Bible. Listen, we could line up a man here. We could line up. We could put a blind man, a deaf man, a dumb man, and a lame man all across here, and we can look at him, and we can look at that blind man, and we say, I don't expect you'll ever see, but Jesus said different.
Yeah.
The blind man can see, that's unexpected.
Yeah.
Right? And the deaf man can hear,
yeah, man.
That's unexpected. The lame man can walk, and the dumb man can talk,
Folks, that's unexpected.
Amen.
Those are things that you just don't expect to happen, but Jesus made them happen.
That's right.
Right.
Amen.
Jesus made them happen. You know, it's unexpected to have God manifested in the flesh.
Yes.
And to come as a baby in a manger through a virgin birth. Folks, that's unexpected.
Amen.
Listen, I know it's prophesied through time, and I understand it's prophesied in the Bible, but it's just unexpected that that's going to happen.
Right.
And then for him to grow up and to live a perfect sinless life, and we go to a grave. He was crucified on the cross, and we go to the grave of a dead man, and 3 days later we go to that grave and he's not there.
Right.
Right.
It's unexpected. It's unexpected to happen. And then be standing there talking to this man, and a cloud just kind of come by and pick him up and take him off.
Yeah.
It's unexpected.
Right.
But all those things happened in the Word of God.
Amen.
Amen.
In the Word of God. Now listen, all those things happen, and the rapture is going to be unexpected as well.
Right. Yeah, man.
Now, I'm looking for it. I'm excited about it, but the Bible says that it'll happen like a thief in the night. In the moment, in the twinkling of an eye.
Right.
It'll happen.
Right.
It'll be unexpected, but I'm excited about it.
Amen.
And also, when he comes back again, it's going to be unexpected.
All right.
When he comes back and riding that white horse, and we come with him, it's going to be unexpected.
That's right.
It's going to happen. Yeah. You can think of so many things through the Bible, so many different events. If you looked at that event and you read the first part of it, or you looked at it, how it turned out is most of the time not what you expected to happen.
Amen, brother. Right.
And most of the time, I mean, it's because the Lord changed it. I mean, the Lord was involved in it. And the Lord, it could have had a different outcome, but God stepped in.
Amen.
But God stepped in.
Amen.
Unexpected events. Now, the thing that I really want to focus on tonight, because we have these events that happen. But the thing I really want to focus on tonight is this thought. Unexpected words that we can learn from.
Amen.
Unexpected words. You see, not only does unexpected things happen, not only does unexpected events come up in our lives, but there are times in our lives when someone says something that we didn't expect them to say.
Amen.
And we can learn from those.
Amen.
We can learn from those times. Now sometimes people, the things that I want to look at tonight are really on a positive note. And sometimes, you know, people, they'll say something unexpectedly, and whether it is intentional or not, maybe it hurt. And we can learn from those times in that we need to be careful what we say to others.
Amen.
We need to be careful not to hurt others, not to hinder others by the words that we say. You know, we did. I think I mentioned that. You know, we did an object lesson there in Haiti with the kids, with the toothpaste, and it's kind of once you get real good visual example of you squeeze out the toothpaste, it's there. It ain't going back in the tube, and it's just like our words that we say. Once those words come out, they're out. There's no getting them back in. Whether it was good and helpful words or whether it was hurtful words, you're not going to put them back where they come from.
Right.
And so tonight, I really just want to look, and I've just got a few examples here of places in the Word of God where someone said something, and it was really unexpected what they said. But we can learn from that. Tonight, we'll start with Jesus. I believe Jesus is a good place to start. I believe we ought to always start with Jesus. So let's look at Jesus tonight. And if you want to turn with me, that's fine. John chapter 11 is where I'm headed. John chapter 11, again, very, very familiar reading here. And we won't read all of it. You familiar with where we're in the scene here is where we're in Bethany, nigh to Jerusalem. Here, and Jesus finds out that he says Lazarus is sick, but in verse 14, he's telling his disciples, and the disciples are confused. They said, Lord, if he sleeps, he shall do well. But in verse 14, I like this. Then said Jesus unto them plainly, Lazarus is dead. He, you know, no confusion there. No gray area there. He says Lazarus is dead. He's dead. And then, so we find here, the event here that took place. And so he goes there to Bethany. He's there with them, and he tells Martha here. He says, Jesus said to her, "Thy brother shall rise again." And Martha said unto him, "I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day." And Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live." And then now we're going down to verse 34. And Jesus says, "Where have ye laid him?" And then we go on down here, and this is the words I want to focus on. Now listen, you've got someone that's dead. They've been dead for 4 days. They're in a grave with a stone over it. And you've asked where are they laid? So you're standing outside this. Just want to kind of get this in your mind here. And Jesus says these words. He says, "Take ye away the stone." Now, that was unexpected. If you were standing there at this grave, looking there, wouldn't it be the last thing on your mind to roll the stone away? And the reason why you know that it was unexpected is because of what Martha said. Martha says, the sister of him that was dead, said to the Lord, "By this time he stinketh, for he had been dead 4 days." See, Martha, in other words, is saying, "Lord, I don't think that's a good idea. You normally do not go to someone's grave after they've been dead for 4 days and roll the stone away."
Right.
It was unexpected, but listen, it was unexpected words of instruction. You see, the Lord was giving them instruction. And Martha couldn't make sense of it. It didn't make sense to her at the time. She didn't know what was going on. She didn't know why he wanted the stone rolled away or anything like that. But they did. And what you and I need to learn from this is when the Lord asks us to do something, we may not understand why. We may not understand what's going to happen or what's going to go on. But we just need to do what the Lord says.
Right.
I really like if you look at Mary over at the wedding there, and she tells them there, she tells, I guess, the servants, the people who are there, she looks at them and she says, you know, Jesus is there, and she looks at them and she says, "Whatsoever he says, do it. Do it." You know, that song, I had that, "Mary, Did You Know?" I had it on my song, had it on my heart for a few weeks now, and I almost preached a message tonight on what did Mary know? Well, Mary knew several things. She knew a lot, and you know a lot by what somebody knows, by what they've been told, but you know a lot by what somebody says. And when Mary says, "Whatsoever he wants you to do, whatsoever he says, do it," Mary knew that if you did whatever Jesus said, it'd be all right.
Yeah, right.
He'd work it out. Whatever he says, you just do it.
And
that's a lesson for you and I tonight. Whatever the Lord says, if we'll just do it, he'll bless. He'll take care of the rest of it.
Yeah.
You've heard many times it preached on this that Jesus could have easily he could have moved his hand. He could have spoke. He could have done whatever to move that stone out. But he knew they were able to do that. So they needed to do what they could do.
That's right.
If you and I, we'll do our part. If we'll do what God's put upon our heart. If we'll do what God's asked us to do, God will do what we can't do.
Yeah.
God will take care of what we can't do.
Amen.
But wouldn't you agree with me tonight that Jesus standing there is saying, "Take the stone away," was unexpected.
Amen.
Unexpected words for someone to say. Now, after the stone was rolled away, here's unexpected words number two. Jesus stands there, and again, we have a stone rolled away, but we've got a dead man in the cave. And Jesus says, "Lazarus, come forth." How's that for unexpected?
Amen.
He's dead. He's dead, but yet Jesus says, "Lazarus, come forth. And I like what one preacher, you hear several preachers say that he had to specify Lazarus, because if he just said come forth, the whole countryside would have come out. But he had to specify just Lazarus. But he says, Lazarus, come forth. Listen, we've had words of instruction, but here Jesus is using words of power.
Yeah.
You see, it's unexpected, but to the Lord can do the impossible.
Amen.
The Lord has the power to restore life.
Amen.
Life. You see it right here. Lazarus, and Jesus plainly said, Lazarus is dead. Been dead 4 days. And Jesus comes up and there's no hesitation. There's no doubt. There's not any glimpse of anything but certainty whenever Jesus says, Lazarus, come forth. Because whatever Jesus says, it's going to happen. It'll happen. Now, the lesson for us to learn today about that, about Jesus saying, Lazarus, come forth, and words of power there, is because He has the same power today as He had then.
Amen.
I like what I read on a church sign one time. It said, don't limit God by your circumstances.
Right.
Don't say, Lord, I know you can help, but boy, I'm in a fix or in a problem, and here's this, and I've got this. Listen, the Lord don't care about the circumstances. He's got the power to take care of it.
Boy.
He's got the same power today to heal, to comfort, to mend that He did back then.
Right.
He's got the same power today.
Amen.
And you and I need to learn that.
Amen.
We need to learn that. These are unexpected words here that we have in the Word of God. If we look over here, we turn way back to the Old Testament, 2 Kings. I like this. This back here is in 2 Kings chapter number 4. Yep. And again, we won't read all this, the reading here, but starting here at verse 18, verse 8, but the Shunammite woman from Shunem here, she had, Elisha would pass through there. He'd just pass through, coming and going and stuff. He'd pass through there. And the Shunammite woman, she said, we need to fix him a little chamber. We need to fix him a little room to stay in. Whenever he comes and goes and stuff, we'll fix him this little room, and he can eat there, and he can stay there, and we'll fix up a place for the man of God. And then down a little further, then Elisha says, "Well, what can I do?" He says, "What can I do to help you? What can I do for you?" And he said, "Can I talk to the king or somebody or do something for you?" And she said, "No, I dwell among my own people." And then verse 14 says, and he said, "What then is it done for her?" And his servant answered and said, "She hath no child, and her husband is old." So he tells her she's going to have a son. You're going to have a child. You're going to have a son. And the son, the event here, the son, he's out in the field there, and he says, "My head, my head." And so the son, he dies. He dies, and she takes him, and she puts him in the man of God's room. She puts him in the man of God's room. And then verse 22 says, "And she called her husband and said, Send me, I pray thee, one of the young men and one of the asses, that I may run to the man of God and come again. And he said, Wherefore wilt thou go to him today? It is neither new moon nor Sabbath. And she said, It shall be well. Then she saddled an ass and said to her servant, Drive, go forward, slack not thy riding for me, except I bid thee. And we'll go down a little bit further. It says, so Elisha sees her and sends his servant out. And we pick up in verse 26 where he says, Run now, I pray thee, to meet her, and say unto her, Is it well with thee? Is it well with thy husband? Is it well with thy child? And here's what's unexpected to me. She had been given a son, and her son is dead, and back home. He's dead. Now no doubt that she loved this son, and the reason why she's coming is because her son is dead. But she answers, it is well. It's well. See, I would expect her to be frantically saying, you know, no, it's not well. No, it's not good. Matter of fact, things are bad. Things are really bad. My son is home dead, and I need some help. But she says, it is well. It's well. Well, how can she say those words, it is well? Because they're words of faith.
Amen.
Because she knew that she got to that man of God, and she got God's attention, that it would be well. You see, she was already looking ahead. She wasn't looking at current circumstances. She wasn't looking at her son being dead. She was looking at forward, and she had enough faith to believe that her son would be okay.
Amen.
And you and I, whenever we've got trouble in our life and things are just going bad, we just need to look to God and say, I know you're going to take care of it.
Amen.
I know that it's going to be well. I know that it's going to turn out okay because I serve a big God.
Yes,
and God can take care of it.
Oh, yeah.
Amen. God can take care of it. And then you and I, whenever we're in troubles and whenever we got trials going on and we could be doom and gloom, we could have a big sorrow on our face and we could be all discouraged and stuff, but when friends come up to us and they say, I know you're going through a hard time and I know you're going through troubles, but if we learn something from this, then we can look at them and we can say, you know what? It is well. It's well. It's going to be all right. It's going to be okay, but we need to learn from this unexpected words here. Unexpected words that she was saying.
Amen.
A similar example here, and I don't mean to mount you around or anything, but back to the New Testament in over in Matthew, in the book of Matthew. These here are just examples here of words of faith, but they're unexpected words. You know, they're when somebody says something that you wouldn't have expected them to say. But in Matthew chapter 14, in Matthew chapter 14, verse 23 here, and when he had sent the multitude away, he went up to a mountain apart to pray. This is Jesus. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with the waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, it is a spirit. And they cried out of fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. Now, here's the unexpected part. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. See, Peter's in a perfectly good boat.
Amen.
And he's in a storm. And storm and the wind is going on, but yet Peter says, Lord, if it be thou, bid me to come unto thee on the water. Again, words of faith.
Amen.
You see, a lot of times, we know the rest of the story. He comes out there and he starts getting afraid and he starts to sink and we give Peter a hard time here for losing faith, for going out there and stepping out and starting to sink and everything. We kind of give him a hard time for losing his faith, but who else on the boat asked to come out there?
Amen.
No, nobody else in that ship says, I want to come too. Nobody else said, Lord, if it's you, I want to come too. See, nobody else offered to step out on the water.
Right.
But he did.
Amen.
So let's not be too careful to quickly judge Peter on his faith. But we can learn from that, can't we? Whenever the storms are raging, whenever troubles are high, then we can ask the Lord, Lord, just help me. Help me draw closer to you. Give me the faith that I need to go a little bit further on for you.
Amen.
If we look at another storm here, you're familiar with this, over in Acts chapter 27. Acts chapter 27. It's the big storm there. that Paul is in. Familiar with this? I mean, it's such a big storm. They are on the wind and everything. They even named it and gave it a name and stuff. But what I want to focus on here is down in verse 24. We'll start reading at verse 21. But after a long absence, Paul stood forth in the midst of them and said, "Sirs, ye should have hearkened unto me, and not have loosened from Crete, and to have gained this harm and loss. And now I exhort you to be of good cheer." Now, that's kind of unexpected, I would think. Here you are in this huge storm. You're on a ship out in the middle of the ocean, the sea here, and someone says, "Be of good cheer."
Right.
Isn't that kind of unexpected? I mean, do you think when the Titanic was going down and water was coming on that someone said, "Hey, be of good cheer"? No, they had to say, "Every man for himself, get the lifeboat, save yourselves, we're getting out of here." You know? And so here they are on a ship. The last thing on anybody's mind there, everybody's thinking we're going to die. This is it. I mean, their scenes are flashing there, but before their eyes, you know, we're going to die out here. The last thing on their mind, if you were sitting there on that ship, do you think that you would expect somebody to come up and say, "Hey, be of good cheer"? Don't you think that'd be kind of unexpected?
Amen.
But yet Paul can say this because he met with the Lord.
Right.
Amen.
Because the Lord told him, "Be of good cheer."
Yeah.
The Lord said, "Hey, this ship is going to fall apart, but you're all are going to be okay. No lives are going to be lost."
Right.
You see, the reason why he could say "be of good cheer" is why you and I need to be able to say "be of good cheer" is because he believed what the Lord said.
Right.
Amen.
And when the Bible tells us to be of good cheer, "I've overcome the world." And you and I, we believe that he has, and we believe that you and I believe that we got the victory tonight.
Yes.
Then you and I, we can say,
yes,
"Hey, be of good cheer."
Yes.
The world may be crumbling, the world may be falling apart, the government may be going in complete chaos, but be of good cheer.
Yes.
We're going to be all right.
Right.
It's going to turn out good for the child of God.
Yes.
In the end, be of good cheer.
Yes.
Be of good cheer.
Right.
This thing ends up good for the child of God.
Amen.
We're gonna come out all right.
Yeah.
So we can be of good cheer.
Amen.
Well, the last thing tonight, where I want to look tonight, is if you'll turn with me to Luke, I don't have the verse written down there. It's Luke 23. Yeah, Luke 23. Luke 23 and verse 34.
Amen.
We started with Jesus.
Yeah.
We're going to end with Jesus.
Amen.
Luke 23 verse 34 says, "Then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do."
Yeah.
It's words of compassion.
Yeah.
And words of forgiveness. And words of grace. Here's a group of people that have yelled, "Crucify, crucify." That have put him through a mock trial, that have done all this injustice to him. And yet he says, "Father, forgive them. Forgive them." We need to remember, just like Jesus had compassion and forgiveness on these people, you and I, we need to have compassion upon others. People who use us wrongly. Maybe do something against us. But we need to forgive. We need to have words of forgiveness for them. Because our Father showed us here. Jesus showed us while He's on the cross. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Words of forgiveness. But look just a little bit further there. Jesus wasn't alone. He had two thieves, one on the right, one on the left. And we find here that they were there, obviously, rightly so. Justly, they were there on the cross. They deserved the punishment that they received. Right. And we find that both of these malefactors, during the course of being up there, both of them mocked and scorned the Savior. They both made fun. They both mocked. I'm sure that they both cursed. Just all manner of evil things against the Lord.
Right.
But during that course of time, something unexpected happened.
That's right.
There's unexpected words that are said. You see, we see here in verse 42. That one of them had a change of heart.
Yeah.
Amen.
And one of them says, he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom.
Amen.
And see, aren't those unexpected words?
Order.
Because just moments earlier, just a little while ago, it was cursing, it was slandering, it was profaning, it was blasphemy that was coming out of his mouth toward the Lord.
Amen.
Yet something happened.
Thank the Lord.
Something changed, and we've got unexpected words coming out of his mouth.
Amen.
And they're words of repentance.
Amen.
They're words of repentance.
Thank you, Lord.
See, he is admitting here that Jesus is Lord. Amen. He says, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom.
Yes.
Amen.
Unexpected words. You see, people today are so hard-hearted and stuff, but the Lord can get through and get through to their heart. Then they come to the altar and they say those words of repentance to Him. And they believe upon the Savior and get saved.
Amen.
Unexpected words. Unexpected words. And then lastly there, he says, Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And then we'll end with this. And Jesus said, Jesus said something unexpected to
him.
Because Jesus said, verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. See, here's someone that had been blaspheming, cursing, and Jesus could have said, boy, hey, it's too late now. You've got what you deserved, and who are you to blaspheme and curse against me and then want me to remember you? Who are you to ask me to do that? But it shows us the compassion and the love that Jesus has. See, Jesus was ready and willing.
Yeah.
Ready and willing to save. And right here, I like this. He says, today. See, it's words of assurance.
Amen.
It's words of assurance. He doesn't say today, maybe you'll be with me. He doesn't say today, maybe or tomorrow or something like that. Maybe it'll work out. Maybe. It's words of assurance. He says today,
amen.
Today shalt thou be with me.
Amen.
In paradise.
Amen.
In paradise.
Amen.
Words of assurance.
Amen.
And that's what you and I need today.
Amen.
We need words of assurance.
Amen.
We need to know. Are you sure? I'm glad that I'm sure about myself.
Yeah,
I'm glad that the Lord has assured me that it's nailed down with Bible names.
Yeah,
I'm glad the Lord showed me that I'm saved. And I'm one of His. You know, we live in a world with work and jobs and things like that. I hear all the time in meetings and things like that, somebody will say, well, I thought Well, I thought this, or I thought it was supposed to work that way, and I thought we were supposed to do this, and you know what? The whole reason why people sit around and they say, well, I thought, or I think, or whatever, the whole problem is that there's no managing of their expectations. It's like you, they have these false expectations, and that's what the devil wants to do tonight. Is to give people a sense of false expectations and think, well, I'm all right. I'm good. I'll probably end up in heaven. Listen, if you don't go the way of the cross, and if you don't go through the blood, if you don't go through Jesus, that's the only way that you expect to get into heaven. Any other way, my friend, listen, your expectation ought to be that you're not going there.
Right.
That you're not going to heaven. See, the devil blinds eyes,
right.
Deceives people into expecting, expecting that they're going someplace that they're not.
Right.
That they're not. Yeah. But listen, I hope tonight, I hope that you're ready to meet God. I hope that you know that you know that you know. And I hope that you've got a time and a place.
Yeah.
For you knelt down and you asked the Lord to save you. You asked the Lord to forgive you of your sin.
Yeah.
You know, a time and a place with the Lord for forgiveness.
Yeah.
Father, I thank you tonight for your word.
Yes,
Lord, it's just been good to be in your house tonight, Lord. And, I pray, Father, that you just put these thoughts upon our hearts tonight. And, Lord, just help us to think about all those different places in the Bible. Lord, things that maybe you even brought to someone's mind tonight that, Lord, I didn't even say, but just places in the Bible where that unexpected things happened, where somebody said something that you wouldn't expect them to say, or maybe they did something that you wouldn't expect them to do. And help us to learn from that, Lord. Help us to have faith in you.
Yeah.
Help us to trust in you. Help us to draw closer to you, I pray, Lord. It's in Jesus' name we do pray. Amen.
Amen.
All right, let's stand number 155. could you go for salvation except to the Lord?
Amen.
Where could you go for forgiveness except to the Lord? Where could you go for comfort that's lasting except to the Lord?
Amen.
And so I'm glad we have Him that we're able to go to. Amen.
Amen.
All right, thank you for coming out tonight. Remember those that's sick this week, and you look around and see those that are always here regularly and not able to be here for the last week or two. You've got a directory. Look up their address. Send them a card. Let them know you miss them. You're praying for them. And I hope that they'll be able to be back at the next appointed time. But we do appreciate this good number out tonight. We've got folks all the way from B-Town tonight that drove down, and they caught our services on the internet and liked them, and so they came down to be in them live. So we appreciate them driving. That's a good way. Amen.
Amen.
We have Brother Hargrave with us tonight. He's the Rock of Ages missionary that's back with us and last year, and they have a ministry in the public schools. And
praise the Lord.
We're going to have him in on the 25th of January to be with us and tell us a little bit more about that and preach for us, so we'll be looking forward to that.
Amen.
All right, glad you come tonight. We're going to ask Brother Nathan to go back to the door, and we're going to ask you to turn around and shake somebody's hand tonight, and you're free to go. God bless you.
Amen. All right, I'll do that.
Still going.